Hello, I'm Isabellen, and this is Isabellen Writes Grown Up Storytime Late Night Edition. It is almost 1 a.m. here, Pacific time where I am, and I get to interview Kinky Katie from the internet, from Twitter fame. She has a website and is a writer and reviews products and just shares her story in a remarkable way. So she will be coming in a minute. As I let her know that I am live. I want to share this out. You know, I always got to do that long pause where I share this out. Come on. Share my link, copy link, and post to Twitter. Uh-oh, where'd it go, Twitter? What'd you do with it? Oh no, I just lost it. Darn it. Oh, I got two musics today. Paste. Da, 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 da. Pardon me, part of the problem is live is that I'm all here by myself, and so getting everything shared out. Is that loud? I'm gonna turn that down because I'm like yelling into the microphone. How are you people today? I'm probably just gonna roll this over and publish it. So if you are tuning in and you're wondering at all the gaps and the gaffes, this is just me. I'm a woman who stole her kid's microphone and decided to start a podcast. And that's kind of how I roll. I am such a pantser in so many ways. I'm gonna go ahead and turn my music off. Somebody asked me, how do you start your stories? What do you start with? Sometimes they want to know, do you start with a plot? Do you start with characters? When does the story idea kick in? So for me, I usually start with two characters. I'm all about the romance. So I start with a man and a woman and their interaction with each other, kind of the scenario of how I want them to meet, a very loose scenario of the trope I want to use for when they meet. And there is Katie. She's calling in. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, you sound so good.
I got very confused about what I was doing, but I'm here now and I'm pleased to be here.
You're here. Thank you so much. This is always so, this moment of when I first hear a voice is always so amazing because I'm in the States and you're like way far away. And I know that telephones, yeah, but still it's
it's very cool.
It is cool to me. Modern invention, telephones, cell phones, everything. It still blows me away. I'm like a kid. So how are you doing this morning? It's morning time for you.
I'm good. I have just finished working out and then ran around frantically getting everything that I needed to talk to you. And now I'm here.
Oh, and so, okay. Are you a coffee or a tea drinker?
I am a coffee drinker.
Oh, coffee.
But I'm a bit of a decaf coffee drinker, so I'm not like desperate for my caffeine fix, so I'm okay.
So you're good. That's good. How long have you always been decaf? These are weird questions, but you know, these are writer questions.
Quite a while I have, just because I found I didn't need the caffeine. So I was like, well, actually, why bother? And I'll drink coffee later. If someone makes me coffee and it's got caffeine, I have no issue with it. My body is not a temple. It's fine. But that's just my preference.
Yeah, I have gone up and down. I'll decaffeinate and I'll do really good 6 months decaffeinated and I'm fine. And then, but when you go back to the, when I go back to the coffee, I do get that buzz and I'm like, oh, and then, you know, you drink the coffee and then the buzz goes. for me. And then I have to start all over to get the actual buzz back again with the headache and things. So it's a vicious addictive cycle for me. So thank you so much for coming on. The first thing I want to talk about is how we are both been invited to collaborate with Stefan and with Shelley on Indulgent Desires on the digital magazine. How did they approach you? How did that happen for you?
I've just been chatting with both of them for quite a while. And then I guess they mentioned their kind of exciting new idea. And did I want to get involved? And I said, yes, absolutely. It sounds really exciting. It sounds fantastic. And therefore, yeah, got involved with that. And I have written a first piece for them, which will be coming out in their first edition, which is all about first times. So
yes,
that is hopefully something for people to look forward to hearing about.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the magazine coming out. I haven't seen the photographs yet that I'm going to be writing for, so I don't hint, but I'm really excited about the future and stuff and just the different ways and the I'm sure for you the same thing. Some of the photography, it really hit me on a very elemental and raw and beautiful artistic level, and so I love that I get to work with pictures like that and be involved in something like that that kind of turns the adult industry a little bit more into an art thing, even though some of it's pretty, I mean, we're going to be a little bit raunchy, let's just be honest. Stefan's there, so but it's still, I love that whole,
beautiful images. Yes, there as well.
Yes, they're just, some of them are mind-boggling beautiful to me.
And I haven't seen the photographs that are going with the piece that I've written.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually just gave a description to Stefan of broadly what I wanted a picture of to go with it. So it'll be really exciting to see that.
Oh yes, I'm sure he's not going to disappoint. I'm looking forward, to seeing what they come up with. He kind of said it'll be kind of like this, but not at all.
Which is really helpful.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. So that's great. Now, are you going to do some writing for them? And what kind of pieces will you be writing? What is your bent?
The answer is, I think it depends a little bit on exactly what they want the theme to be for that month. Kind of in a similar tone and style to that which I write my blogs in. Uh-huh. But yes, the topic for the first one is first times. So I've written a piece about a first time experience for that.
Ooh, yes. There's so many first times. When we were talking about that. Because it's kind of a BDSM slant, I'm like, oh my gosh, for me who has, I'm so vanilla and I don't, all my experience is book learning.
From your poems and your writing.
All my experience is book learning. 90%, yeah, all of it. I've not had any real, in fact, this year was the first year I'd actually met any men who were more on the dominant spectrum. I've been surrounded by a lot of betas, which isn't a bad thing, but just men. I need to ask Vlad. The men that I have been surrounded with here in America are very conscious of things like rape culture and women's liberation and what women expect, and almost as if they have lost, they have to hide, any of their dominant tendencies because it's not well accepted, outside of the bedroom. And so I've not met, until I had come to on Twitter, and I've talked about this before, one of the first people I met was Ben In My Hands Audio. Have you ever heard any of his work?
I haven't, no.
Ben does audio erotica, and in dealing with him, I got him to This isn't about me. This is about you. I'm just going to, this no, is I'm just, oh, good. So Ben does, Ben has a fantastic voice. He is incredibly talented. He does audio erotica. I heard him. He sounded a lot like a very dominant character in actually my newest book release. And I contacted him. I gushed all over him because I was just very overwhelmed by the audio erotica that he did. He does portrays kind of a daddy dom, very dominant. And then even in talking with him, I knew right away, this man likes to be in control. He likes to lead. You could tell. I just like, and even though this is my work, we're going to work together on, you know, on his terms, and that he'll give me I'll get the best product. There's just no doubt, because is where his control issue is. But, you know, the whole relationship is going to be totally on his terms. And I wasn't going to be able to weasel around there would be no weaseling to get, you know, there would be no sneaking around and getting more or doing, it was going to be, you know, I was going to get what he could give me when he could get, and that was it. And those words were never spoken. And it's not a negative thing. It's just the way. And so that hit me as the first truly dominant man that I'd ever, he's like a wolf in his territory. And you just, and this is established territory. And once you're invited in, you know, and you've passed the smell test, things loosen up a little bit. But once, if you're outside that territory, it doesn't matter who you are outside the territory and you haven't. And so it was very much that feeling, even over the internet, which I had never had before. So I can't say I'd ever met, I've met strong men before, decisive men, but I'd not ever met, you know, anybody dominant like that. And so then I, with my poetry and then Stefan and all that. So this year has been kind of my whole, I write about it, I can imagine it, but I've never met real people and I'd read it, you know.
That's exciting though.
I talk about it quite, you know, there's dark romance with very strong men and alpha males and alpha holes and alpha marshmallows. It's a thing. But you come to Twitter where everybody's writing erotica. I feel like I'm, no, really, it's a thing. Women love that.
Yes.
Some of the men I talk to, what, really? No, really, they love that. Okay, you know, Knight of Seven, Seven of Night.
Yes.
I had that specific conversation with him, actually. I'm like, no, you can hear, this is a safe space. If you want to be that, you're good. Do that. Women will love that. He's like, no, they won't. Yes, they will. No, they
It is funny, and it's just so many, like, different perceptions of it and how people find it and whether they think it's acceptable or not. It's an interesting area.
It is an interesting area. And then, so, you know, seeing Stefan's poetry, his pictures, gave me an opportunity to write for things. And I was very much compelled to write for those things and write for things I had never written before in such a confrontational kind of way, I guess. And I know you've had your own journey as well. You know, that's kind of your homepage. When I go to the homepage about you, it kind of talks about would you share your evolution a little bit, how you came to be able to write and share too? There are a lot of people that are very private. I'm obviously not really one of them, but there are a lot of people who very much guard that stuff, but you're very brave. I mean, and I know that writing, even on Twitter, we'll just talk about Twitter. I've commended women before, because when you put that stuff out there, sometimes there are men who are very respectful and very appreciative and very kind. And there are other men who don't see the boundaries and are sending pictures and are making
people who see you write something like that and assume that therefore you want to do that with anyone and everyone, and it's like, well, no, I like doing these things, but I still have boundaries as to who I want to do them with. And I think that's actually something that some people, guys, struggle with, is that kind of the difference. Just because I want to do those things doesn't actually mean I want to do them with you necessarily.
You're missing the social cues here. Let's stop and rethink this. And if I have to be So, but women are brave. You know, the first time I paired poetry with a picture of a pretty graphic picture of genitals, it was a blowjob picture, actually. It was a debate for me. It took me a while to go, should I do this? People have already implied this with, but I really like this, the way this picture is taken. It speaks to me. It's very intimate. It doesn't feel like porn to me. It's a challenge. So you're out there, you're sharing your writing and so you get that. That takes a little bit of courage. And I think that's awesome. I think you're amazing.
Well, thank you. And I find it a really interesting outlet and a way of sharing that. In the way that probably in normal everyday life, you can't share most of those experiences with people. Because if you shared them with vanilla friends and things like that, they would probably be utterly horrified and be like, what are you doing? So actually, I really enjoyed the writing of it as a way to share that with people. But I love it when people either comment on my blog or they reply to me on Twitter when I've written something and say, oh, I really like that and that really resonated with me because, or if people say, do you know what, that's not for me, but it was really fascinating to read. So I love the kind of the interaction and the way it kind of breaks down that boundary and allows people to talk about things. There's some topics which I've written about which are more, I guess, acceptable. I'm not sure anything is that I've written about is acceptable to most people, but some of it is more acceptable and other areas are just a little bit more people think is a bit kinky. And you equally get people coming back to you and saying, I'm so glad you wrote about that because that's something I like as well and I was not comfortable talking about or whatever. So, and there've been a few pieces that I've written that I've kind of thought, oh, should I write about this topic? Is this taking this too far? And I've talked to one or two friends about beforehand and said, what do you think? Do you think this is okay? I really enjoy it. And I love the interaction it creates with people and how they want to feedback on their own experiences and things.
Now, are you writing about kinks you've experienced yourself or are you fictionalizing or how does that work? Is it all autobiographical or is some of it fictional? I mean, some of you get the tension going. So I'm like, did this really happen? Oh my goodness, this lucky woman.
almost everything that I've written about is based on real experiences.
Wow.
There are one or two pieces that are, which, and I normally mention in the kind of introduction, if they're not something that's actually happened,
there's a little bit more fantasy aspect. Yeah.
Yes. I wrote a piece called I Think I Might Get Groped, which is about a grope box in a sex club. And that's
I read that piece. It was very confronting for me because, but I, and I think I told you in the DMs, the way you write was such joy. It kind of, it, you know, you're in, even in the fantasy, that your joy and your delight and your experience, it really comes through your writing. And that's a beautiful thing. You can't say that with everybody. Sometimes some other stuff leaks out. You know, a lot of my writing will be about my inhibitions or coming, you know, my past or coming out of things or waking up. But you're like pure on, whee! And it's happy and positive and, you know, beautiful in its own unique way. So, yeah, but I had never heard of that kind of situation. Yeah, there's a lot I haven't heard of, though. So don't take that. You know? there's so much I don't know, apparently.
But sometimes it's interesting because I do think there are different styles in which people write in. And mine is very much just sharing the kind of positivity around the experiences that I've had. Mm-hmm. But I know when I read some things that other people have written and I think, wow, they're much more, I guess, raw and open with their emotions. And sometimes I think, oh, should I be doing more of that? And then I think, oh, that's not really my style that I want to write. And I actually enjoy celebrating the kind of positivity.
I like that. I like, you know, the positivity is just as good, is just as has value. My thing here on Storytime really is that every story has value because even as you were saying before you got there, that you're building communication. It's not it's educating, not like to teach this is how you do something, but this is how I feel about this thing. This is what it, you know, this is my experience with it. And that's, you know, I'm a person too kind of communication that is always has really to humanize people really has great deal of value. I think we need to be listening to each other's stories in these day and times a little bit more carefully. So yeah, no, don't change it. I've read just in terms of erotica, some from a man's point of view, for some reason that exuberance always for me, just for, and I couldn't even name an author, but when he's exuberant about it, it feels dirty to me. It feels like he's using and there's an element in abuse, and that's probably a hang up that I have that I bring to the table. But just in the erotica that I've read, when it would be in a situation like that, there's just like this kind of conspiratorial sense of the writing that puts me off towards men and women write differently. Not all the time, not all writers, but I encounter it a lot when it's free erotica, you know, like on a website like Literotica or something. It's more, yeah, more delineating when men are just writing for their own pleasure. And so that's stuff I avoid. So
yeah. Finding things that are written in the style that kind of appeal to you, isn't that?
Yes. Yeah. And that's because it's, you know, therein is the communication. I hear what that man is saying, but it doesn't resonate with me as much as what Katie over here is saying. This I can get. It may not be my thing, but I can see that she's really enjoying it and very positive about, you know, I can see all of that. And hey, that seems more healthy than that, but that's just me. So everybody has their thing. And, you know, to men, it's probably a different, I'm sure, because men think it comes off way different. I don't know. Men, the way they think fascinates me. That's one thing I can't, you know, I've been alive a long time, not a long time, but I'm still absolutely fascinated how they get from point A to point B sometimes.
Yeah. And I think sometimes I do really enjoy reading, if they're well written and well done, pieces that men have written from a kind of dominant perspective, because I think it's, yes, really interesting.
And you get in their head, and you know, you, yeah,
side to it.
Yeah.
Like, I know in that sort of situation, what I get out from the kind of submissive side of the relationship, but it's actually understanding what does the dominant get from that? Because my mind doesn't work in that way. My mind works in a submissive way.
I know.
So it's kind of understanding that alternative perspective, I think, is quite fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you got, are there any dominant writers that write that you could recommend that you can think of us? If you can't now, maybe you could pop them into Twitter or something. Oh, good.
Probably my favorite one on Twitter is, he writes as Daddy Writing.
Oh, yes. Okay. I follow him.
And he's particularly playing on the daddy role, but it is just very dominant. And I found there's been a couple of pieces that he's written, and almost the topic he's covered has almost been the same topic I've covered. But obviously he's written it from a dom perspective and I've written it from a submissive perspective. So I find, yeah, I really like his writing. It really resonates with me.
He's
one of my favorite ones to read.
He's really good. Yes, I've enjoyed some of his pieces. He's really good. As a romance writer, when, you know, a lot of readers want both perspectives, I've always thought, and I've said this before, that women in romance tend to write the men how they want them to be rather than how they really are, because, you know, it's a romantic story, and so it's unfolding. And so I'm always really aware that there's a little bit of difference there.
That's true.
That I'm writing romance and my audience is women. And if a guy picks up this book, I had no idea. I've had they've been very kind. That's all they've just been very kind. But yeah, the perspective is so amazing. So did you, you didn't always know you were submissive and didn't always, and kind of got into the, so at what point did your writing journey, you decided you're going to, how long had you been living your life before you started to write?
Oh, quite a while. I guess I'd kind of,
So you just didn't start writing until you had some level of confidence is kind of what I'm...
In what I was doing. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, the writing came fairly recently, whereas I guess I'd been on a kind of journey of exploring things for a while. And I guess that had developed in terms of the kind of submissive things that I was trying. But yeah, the writing came much more recently, and really from a kind of... yeah, desire to be sharing experiences and things like that.
And have you found, you know, you were saying for the most part, has all the experiences been fairly positive when after sharing them, your feedback is what I meant to say.
Yes, absolutely. In terms of, I guess, feedback and things, definitely people have been really positive, actually. Even people who've kind of said, that's not something that's for me, but they've enjoyed reading it. And there are one or two things that I know people have said, I'm not reading. There's one kind of talk about consensual, non-consensual type role play, which was utterly set up as utterly consensual, but then played out non-consensual acts. And kind of whenever I post it, it comes with that warning. And some people have said, I love everything you write, but I'm not even reading that piece. And that's fine by me. And that was one that before I posted it, I thought, should I? But actually, it's written in a really it's in a very positive way, and it's written. It's very clear from the outset that this was something I 100% wanted to do and went into knowing exactly what I was doing. So yeah, but otherwise, people have been really positive. Yes, you get some comments about people saying, "Oh well, can I do this with you?" And it's like, no, that's not where we're going with this. But generally, yeah, they're really positive, and yeah, I love getting feedback from people and just hearing what they think. It kind of makes you realize that people are actually bothering to read what you've written, yes. And that they're kind of engaging with it. So yeah, I really like that side of it.
That feedback thing is really big for me. That's one reason why I decided to write, was the feedback that I got, that it was just very overwhelming. I felt like I was connecting with, like I had spent a lot of time wanting to connect with an audience and missing it. And then finally I found something that just seemed like, the connection was there. And that's kind of an amazing feeling. It's like, yes, you heard me. And yeah. I spoke to you. And that's wonderful. I don't know if I've seen your CNC or not. I was talking today about quite a bit about the labels between in romance and between a romance and erotica. I'd not ever heard of CNC, although I had read it, because it's like, it's another dark romance theme. It happens a lot. We were talking about, I don't know if you saw it, the movie 365 Days.
No, I haven't.
It's a Polish movie. It was on Netflix. It's basically, it's a fairly simple scenario. He's like a mob boss. And he sees a woman that he'd had a dream about, and he kidnaps her and tells her she has 365 days to fall in love with him. And, it's non-consent at first because she's kidnapped, but he promises not to touch her until she gives her consent. So, and then she teases him back and forth because he's gorgeous and she's gorgeous, you know, and there's chemistry there. And I bring that up because that movie on Netflix was one of the number one consistently watched movie over and over and over out of all their movies. And at the same time, there were some debates about it being, why would any woman want to be kidnapped? Why would any woman, you know, why would that fantasy? But those kind of fantasies are huge. And so I keep talking about romances because there's so much crossover, but I didn't know it, that there was all these undertones of the BDSM community in a lot of romance, of the dom and the sub, of the daddy dom and the sub. I had no idea that they were such clear overtones, that they, in romance, they're tropes. In real life, they're kinks. And I didn't realize that. I'd been reading, you know, stuff for years, bodice rippers, everything. And the crossover, it fascinates me. And that there are a bunch of women out there who don't realize either that their trope is a kink that people live out, and you know, that people make the choice to live out. It is a it's like a light bulb moment for me that I'm still like, wow, that light bulb. I can't. Do you see that light bulb up there?
Whereas I guess I think of my writing as very much kink and not romance, I guess.
But it's you have
on that side of the fence.
It is, because, you know, the difference, the romance is that you've already, you're acting out that kink within an established relationship. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So that you would still be romance because it's within the established, and it you're describing your relationship within the framework of acting out those kinks. Erotica is your own personal journey. So if you were acting out with multiple partners, just trying to find yourself, even though you're doing that with one partner, it's still, it's a pretty clear line that if you're doing it, if it's all about you all the time and your partner has, you know, but I'm sure you've explored some of the relationship with your partner, because that's part of the kink. That's part of the beauty of the, you know, the whole dom submissive. That's what I keep talking to people. They're like, the communication is amazing, and the trust, and the
and actually, I think you need that. You need that communication, that trust, in order to be able to explore new things. And I think that's like totally something we've found, is that the more we've got to know each other, the more we've got comfortable with each other, the more we trust each other, actually has let us explore new things that I potentially would never have thought of doing. And actually, both of us very much like trying new things and get excited by that.
You've shared some of your new things. I could almost feel, I know that you wrote about fisting, which was that controversial? Because that's not.
Yeah, that.
I don't know.
One of the ones that I think, oh, should I be sharing this? Is this too shocking? And actually, it's probably one you do get. And then I've suddenly had some people being like, wow, that's something I really love and I didn't feel comfortable talking about. I think it's one that people think is a little bit taboo.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was one that I did think a little bit before sharing, because it is quite a personal one. But almost to me, that was more of a, that one's more about the kind of physicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I guess some of the other pieces are more about the kind of the emotional and the control type of dynamic within the relationship. And I guess it's that kind of area, the control and the submission, that we've really been, I guess, playing with a little bit more. And in a positive way, pushing my boundaries as to what I've been comfortable doing. And yeah, trying new things.
That pushing your boundaries, trying new things. Yeah, I thought, you know, you talked about the when the on the fisting, and then I've noticed there are, you're always trying new things. You're pushing your limits, and you're adventurous. You put it in your, I think I put it on that, you really are. And that's a positive thing. I mean, you're alive, you're living out life. Your adventure just happens to be more in the bedroom rather than up a mountain, but still, it's still adventure. It's still yeah, kind of fascinating to me that, and exciting, you know, that you're on this adventure and you're, it's a positive thing. It's really kind of cool. So I read I don't know if it was the most recent one, but the one, the sending selfies.
Yes. Should I that one have sent him nudes? Yes.
Yes. Should I have sent him nudes? That one was really cute. It was cute and hot and confusing at the same time, because he's like, comes home and that was a really good one. I really liked that one.
And that was one that was kind of, that was a, not a fantasy one, but that was more of a made up story.
Mm-hmm.
But it was triggered from the fact that he had been at work and I had been sending him photos as a kind of teasing type thing. but also knowing exactly that he knows what I like, need,
mm-hmm,
and actually the teasing, the build up, the anticipation, the being made to wait, the being punished, for me is all just what I want. Actually, if he had to come home and just straight away had sex with me, that wouldn't have been as special. But actually the fact that he made me wait and made me do all these things along the way actually heightened the whole thing at the moment. So yeah, that kind of makes more of it for me. Yeah, I thrive on all of that element, as well as the ultimate end result.
The ultimate end result. Yeah, the whole process, I mean, it reads really amazing, I got to tell you.
Thank you.
But you did touch on, I know that I talked about you, sent you a message ahead of time, because I've talked about this on the show, that my heart, and I don't, I'm still exploring. I'm sure there are other reasons. I don't exactly know why this is such a hard limit for me, but humiliation and degradation, but you enjoy that. So I would love to know more of your perspective of what that feels like when he's giving that to you, meeting that need, what that looks like to you. Because for me, that it tends to rouse my, it's the opposite. I get angry. And I get angry in a bad way. And it doesn't scare me. It just enrages me. And there might be fear in there as well. I mean, that rage very well. I don't know exactly. I have a feeling. I have touched on some things why I think it might be a thing for me, but I'm not sure. So I'd love to know why, how does that work for you?
So I guess for me, and I have occasionally kind of reflected on, okay, why do I enjoy these types of things, both the control side, but also the kind of humiliation, degradation. And I think it is just that part of the control thing first is almost, for me, is a alternative to daily life of having to be fully in control of so many things, that actually when I'm with him, handing over that control and submitting completely is therefore incredibly freeing. And I guess also, though, in real life, the idea of anything being humiliating is something I really hate. It's that for me would be like one of the worst things. So actually, the fact that as we've built a kind of trust and started to explore things more, that actually we can do things that I find degrading or humiliating, actually I therefore find really exciting and a real turn on. And we do have some, I guess, clear boundaries around that, particularly around use of words.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the acts, if he is slapping me in the face with his cock or smearing his cum on my face or something like that, there'll be words around it as well. And if he's telling me that I'm his gorgeous slut or his beautiful whore or something like that, then it is degrading language, but it's still used in a I care about you type of way. And that he's almost celebrating the fact that he loves that I'm being a slut for him. Whereas if he was to call me worthless or something like that, to me, that suddenly is just a big turn off, because it's like, actually you're belittling who I am rather than kind of celebrating with me the naughty, kinky things that I enjoy doing with you.
I can get that. I can see that. I can see my way to that. I can, that makes a lot of sense to me. The worthless and the part of it is, if I feel like I'm not, even in my head when I'm writing it or reading it, if I feel like the person is not being respected, for the whatever respected, if there's no respect and value for that person as a person, I'm done.
Completely. And that was almost a big, I guess, building block for the whole thing, is that I know he completely respects me in my normal life, but also completely in all the things that we're doing. And therefore, yeah, it's allowed us to play with more.
So you get to play acts, and you get to do all these, and you get to be all the, you know, oh, well, that's interesting.
And yeah, like if he's smeared cum all over my face or something like that, it's the fact that he will then tell me how beautiful I look like that, because he will feel that I'm very marked as him and his and showing that. And therefore he thinks that's a really beautiful sight. So there's definitely respect, but it's also kind of, it's still empowering. It's not that in no way is he trying to do any of these acts to belittle me.
Yeah.
He's doing it because he knows it. It lets me push my boundaries, and that really excites me. And the fact that it is this kind of antithesis of real life, that you are doing something that takes you outside of what you would normally feel comfortable with, and in a very safe, trusting environment, I find that really exciting to do.
Yeah. I mean, the trust is off the charts when you're in that kind of situation, and the trust has got to be is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, I've written one piece, Playing Without a Safe Word, which is about, now normally we would always play with a safe word and all those types of things. And we'd had a little bet on something and I lost the bet, as inevitably I do. this was agreed on as a punishment was, I think it was 10 minutes tied up with him able to do whatever he wanted to, which basically involved forcing more and more orgasms from me and no safe word. And this kind of started because there's almost a point that I'll get to and I'll just be like, okay, I can't take any more. And I've received so many orgasms, I can't have more. and he was always like, okay, what would happen if you didn't say no at that point? Like, how would your body carry on responding? We were both quite kind of interested in that. And we both knew that if I still had my safe word, I would ultimately use it. And it's something that actually, prior to this relationship, I always felt like if I used a safe word, I was failing, like, oh, I was just giving up and I couldn't take it. And actually, together, he's kind of taught me that actually it's not about you failing. It's about you allowing yourself to actually push your limits further because you have a way of making it stop. And if you need to use your safe word, then that's perfectly fine and you're not failing at what we're doing. So that's made me more comfortable using the word, but therefore we wanted to play with taking that word away. And obviously for me at the time, it was incredibly intense and felt kind of overwhelming. And I mean, he said to me afterwards, he said, I was watching you so carefully and he knew all my cues. And if he genuinely thought this is too much, or if I'd actually said stop, he would have done. Even if I'd actually kind of properly said my safe word and things like that. But at the time, it felt like I had no safe word and no way to make it stop. So it was a very intense experience.
I can imagine. Well, no, really. I mean, I have to imagine because I have no idea. Wow.
Yeah, it was an ultimate kind of handing over of control, definitely.
Wow. Yeah.
Not that I'd recommend people play without safe words, but on a one-off occasion, it was very fun to do.
Yeah. No, I can see that. And then you know yourself better. I mean, I don't have a lot. This doesn't really compare anything else, but I have kids and I wanted to have my kids natural because I wanted to know my limits. And I was concerned, you know, healthy, all this stuff, but and a healthy baby and all. Yes, I wanted all of that, but I also wanted to see if I could take all the pain. And, yeah. And so I like to push limits. I like to know where I can go. I'm always curious about, I know, you know, and I don't know. There aren't a lot of people who really want to do that. I don't. There doesn't seem to be. Maybe they're all here on dirty Twitter. I don't know. but in real life, I don't know many people who like to know. I like answers to questions. And so when I feel like if I don't know where my limit is, I don't know where the boundary is, and I'm going to fall off the edge of the world. I don't know.
It's fun though, finding out where.
And yeah, that's a fun limit. And then to be in that trusting relationship. And then, so did you write about that scenario? If you did, I missed that one.
I did. I'll send it to you later. You will have to
send it. Yeah, you'll have to send that one to me. So yeah, I also saw that you do, some reviews too. Or now, are you just doing product reviews or reviews of things that you guys have tried out and just writing those? Or are you doing more the serious, like people send you stuff and we're going to try this out?
A little bit of both, actually. So I started, I did a couple of pieces just because I thought they were interesting to talk about. One about nipple clamps and my kind of love-hate relationship with them. And I did another about an anal hook and predicament bondage, again, because I thought that was quite an interesting topic and something that I have really enjoyed exploring. So both of those I just chose to write, but then there's other things that I've been sent that I've written about as well, so toys that people have sent me. And that's always really exciting, getting something new through and trying it out. So yeah, so there's a bit of a mixture there as to things that I just chose to write about because I enjoy them versus some that I've been sent and very much enjoyed testing.
That's kind of a neat, you know, being able to do a little bit of both, getting stuff sent and having people recognize, look, she's got a good opinion and she's going to tell her, she's really going to try this toy out. That's kind of neat. I like that. That's interesting.
I also have on my blog just a couple of book reviews of just a couple of books, naughty books that I just enjoyed, and then we'll pop those on as well.
So your blog is basically, you know, you just put on there, you're kind of stay in your zone, but you're putting on there whatever, you know, just appeals to you. That's what makes it more of your playground too, because you're not limiting yourself there as well. That's really neat. I mean, it's very, we'll make sure to put your link up. Your blog is very clean. It's easy to navigate. It's easy to read. I want to recommend it. It's very modern. It doesn't look anything like Literotica. It's not, you know, which is a notoriously evil place. Well, I mean, as far as old and, you know, the interface for it.
I wanted it to just be kind of about the words and some of the images, but yeah, that it is just clean, easy to read, the pictures on there, none of the pictures are particularly explicit. They are, I'm going to make them more suggestive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also quite simply done because I'm not very good at building websites. So
well, I like it. The simple works. It keeps it from being cluttered, and then it keeps the focus on your words, and so that makes it even better. And it's an enjoyable blog experience. I just wanted to let you know that I really liked visiting. So I know that you brought something to read, and I would love for you to do that before you go as our hour gets close to close, as I chat your ear off with.
I am enjoying it very much.
Oh, I hope so. I get carried away a little bit sometimes. I'm sorry. So
not at all.
I would love to hear you read.
So I was thinking, because you said that you were kind of interested in the degrading humiliation piece, I thought I would read a little bit from that. How much do you want me to read? Just a little bit from it?
We've been talking about 45 minutes, and I don't want to keep you too long. So if you want to, just go ahead and, I don't know how long it'll take you to read about 10 minutes, but you can read about 10 minutes. I'd love to get a chance to, and that might be, you know, your articles aren't, your stories are kind of balanced. They're not, you know, it's not going to take you an hour. So, I love that too, that you can read one of your stories like on a lunch break, a naughty lunch break, but a lunch break. go ahead and read. And if you, I'll let you read for about 10 minutes and then I'll, how about that?
Stop.
Yeah. You must stop now.
Exactly. Do you know what I'm going to read from? I'm actually going to read from one that I wrote called What I Want From My Dom.
Okay.
And I wrote it in June, just to give you some context, because it starts with, it's June, Gemini month, and I was thinking about the juxtaposition of all the things that I want from my dom. It sounds like hard work being a dom, because when I ponder it, I have a long list of wants. I caveat this with the fact that every sub has different wants, and I'm sure others have written much more profound articles on this topic than me. But here is my I want list. I start off with, I want him to make me feel safe. This is my most basic want, probably better described as a need from my dom. I need him to make me feel safe. Yet yes, safety in the sensible play sense, stopping when I use my safe word, or if he can see that I'm really struggling, or knowing when to stop if he has his hands or a belt around my throat as I come. But more than that, I want him to hold me in his arms, rest my head on his chest, and make me feel safe. I need that intimacy just as much as I need the roughness. And hand in hand with this are care and respect. When he spanks me until I cry or makes me scream when he pushes into my ass too roughly, I need to know that ultimately he cares about me, my well-being, my pleasure, my happiness. I also need to know that he respects me for the person that I am. Knowing he has that respect for me means that being called his slut or told that I'm only fit to be his fuck toy is a huge turn on. Without that, it would just feel like insults. Secondly, I want him to make me feel vulnerable. I did say it was a juxtaposition. As well as make me feel safe, I also want him to make me feel vulnerable. I love feeling very exposed in front of him. The power dynamic when he's fully clothed and wants to inspect my naked body. One of my absolute favourite moments is when he lays me out naked on the bed and slowly works around each corner, tying my wrists and ankles to the bedpost. My whole body becomes so completely sensitised as the delicious anticipation surges through me. I feel so vulnerable, so exposed, so completely at his mercy. My head races with the ideas of what he might choose to do to me. When he chooses a Hitachi wand, taping it to my thigh so the head is pressed hard against my clit, and I can't do anything but take the sensations and the resulting climaxes. I also want him to be in control. One of the most freeing and wonderful elements of my relationship with my Dom is the handing over of control to him when we're together. He is in control. He makes the decisions, and I just need to obey and take what is given to me. If he decides I need to lay down with my head off the end of the bed so he can spend some time fucking my face, then that's what I will do. If he tells me to bend over and he puts on the cock ring with the dildo attached so he can give me double penetration, making me come over and over until I feel I can't take any more, then that is what I will do. Now, please don't think I'm always the most well-behaved sub. I can talk back or try and resist, and I'm regularly told off for rolling my eyes at my Dom. But ultimately, I do as he tells me. I also don't expect him to drive every idea for what we do. We regularly plot and plan before our next meetup, exciting each other with new ideas. And I regularly suggest new things that I would like us to try. But as soon as we start to play, he's the one in control. I also want him to discipline me. I love that he disciplines me. One weekend he gave me homework. He instructed me to watch a video from the upper floor, which is my porn of choice, in which a submissive demonstrates six poses. I was to learn each so that I could replicate perfectly for him. When we were next together, I demonstrated each for him. Any imperfections, such as my hands the wrong way up or my back not arched sufficiently, earned me sharp smacks with the crop until they were rectified. The standing positions require my legs to be just far enough so that he can comfortably cut my sex, so it's fully available to him, which beautifully reinforces his position of control. And if they're not the perfect distance apart, my inner thighs will get slapped. The other key area of discipline is requiring me to control my orgasms. I come super easily, so this is hard for me. I know I'm not allowed to climax until he gives me permission. I just cannot always manage to contain myself long enough. I also want him to overpower me. I find rough play utterly thrilling. Sometimes I want him to tell me to do something, and I give him a sassy look, put one hand on my hip, and say, "Make me." I want him to growl at me and push me down hard onto the bed. I want to struggle as he forces my leg wide apart. I want to cry no and push him away as he holds my wrists, gripping them painfully tightly. I want to bite at him as he pins me to the bed and penetrates me. The thrill is in the struggle. We both know he will win, but I want to feel him physically overpower me. I also want him to punish me. I do actually want him to punish me. Sometimes I play up to get punished, but sometimes I just fail at a discipline task, particularly the orgasm control ones. Or I might have been a naughty girl, such as showing up to see my Dom and forgetting I was told not to wear knickers, or masturbating without asking his permission. Both he and I know there are some punishments that I really enjoy, like being smacked over his knee. There are also those which are genuinely hard limits for me, and those remain off limits. But there are also some that I love to hate. Even though they're punishments I dislike, my submissive self also needs to be punished in this way. Bent over the desk and severely smacked with his belt. Being made to hold open my pussy lips so he can smack my clit with the crop. The nipple clamps going on and him tugging at the chain between them. Or figging when he inserts a bulbous piece of ginger into my asshole for added burn while he spanks me. I hate those punishments, and I love how it makes me feel when he punishes me in that way. I also want him to make me feel sexy. I know that my dom finds me incredibly sexy, and this is hugely intoxicating. When he's about to spank me until I cry, first he will caress my bottom, reminding me how gorgeous he finds it. Sitting back, he looks at my breasts, whispering, "I love those gorgeous big tits," before he closes his teeth around the nipples or smacks at the sensitive flesh. He positions me in front of the mirror before pushing his thick cock into my tight arsehole. As I cry out, he'll pull my hair, forcing me to look at my reflection, pointing out how sexy I look as I moan and take cock. I love when he pins me down on the bed or against the wall, looking into my eyes as he thrusts into my pussy and tells me how he cannot get enough of me. I also want him to degrade me. To many, this will seem absurd, but being made to do degrading acts at the hand of my dom is highly arousing for me. I want to be made to crawl across the floor to him, to have him slap my face with his cock while I beg to be allowed to take him in my mouth. I want him to grind his ass into my face, using the crop if I need encouragement to use my tongue more deeply in his hole. I want him to spit on me and call me a whore as he fucks me hard. I want him to inspect how wet my pussy is getting while he fucks my face and laugh at me for being such a needy slut. All these elements heighten the whole experience for me. I also want him to make me orgasm. I know for some people BDSM style play is an end in itself. The ultimate satisfaction is in the spanking or the caning. Not for me. I want him to make me orgasm over and over and over. When he spreads my legs, holds my pussy lips apart and licks me until I'm tingling and screaming with the pleasure of my orgasm. When he rubs his thumb over my clit and pushes his finger inside me, probing for my G-spot, and I squirt all over his hand as I come. When he penetrates any one of my holes with his delicious thick cock and thrusts in and out of me until I'm moaning with pleasure as multiple climaxes rock over me. I also want him to come. I want to go home with his cum buried deep inside me. And I want us to laugh together. Finally, I want us to laugh together. The observant among you will have noticed the slight change in the format of this title. To me, this is really important. I want all the things above, but I also want us to laugh and have fun together. This makes it magical for me. And there you go. That's that piece.
That should be like required reading for, that was wonderful. And I love how you go through and describe each thing. You do a really fantastic job of imparting your viewpoint, and it's so strong and so clear. That takes talent, just so you know. I just want to cry. It does. It's not easy to do, to communicate one thing and have the audience hear what you're communicating. I heard you. it was really good. I had actually read that before, but hearing you read it aloud, it always puts the words in a different perspective. So that was really good. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm glad you got to share that whole thing. And thank you for coming on. I had a really great time. I learned a lot. I always learn a lot, but...
I feel like we could have just sat and chatted for ages. So.
Oh, probably. If I brought out all the questions I can't ask on air that I don't want to share with the world, we probably could talk for hours.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And we could, if we got Sleepless and and the Secret Submissive. Oh, yes. Ladies,
we could have a lot of fun.
So much I'd like to talk to you about over tea. So many things. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you have a great day. I'm going to go ahead and sign us off as the hour closes out. We could always talk later. I know that you have things to go on to your day today, so I don't want to keep you too long, but yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time out to just pop in and get this done and share it with the world. Share it with naughty Twitter.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it very much as well.
You have a good day.
And you. Take care.
You too. Goodbye. Bye. I'm going to... Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you again as I turn on some music here and sign out of this podcast. I'm a little flustered because that was really good. And a little flustered. Yeah, I need to go write some poetry. Thank you so much, Katie. I really appreciate you and talking about the humiliation side of your kink. That explained when you explained it. That side of your story, that was almost powerful to me because I saw it in a new way. And that's one of the reasons why I have this podcast, because stories are important, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, it communicates something. And you communicated to me something that an angle I hadn't been able to see before. So I really, really appreciate that. I'm grateful to you for that. I want to thank everybody who stayed up late. And Tom, I see you. I'm glad you caught that too. She read amazing. It was amazing. And I will be reposting. It'll probably go right up. So everybody have a great day.